This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعليكم السلام. Sound is too loud. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيد المرسلين وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. All praise are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be constantly showered upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad and upon his family, his companions, and all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessing of life and for this opportunity to be fasting in this month, and especially now that we have reached into the last third of the month. And this is a time that many people may hear about but not be fully aware about. And Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said in authentic hadith, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه ومن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan with faith and confident expectation in the reward of Allah, all previous sins are forgiven. And whoever stands in the night of power with faith and with confident expectation in the reward of Allah, then all of the previous sins have been forgiven. And so this is an important night, and the companions used to look for it in the last 10 days of the month, especially on the 27th night. And the 27th night is still the most probable for it to be. Although because of a dispute in the masjid, the Prophet ﷺ said, had told his companions, Taharro Laylatul Qadr fil witr min al-Asha al-Wakhir min Ramadan. He said, look for it in the odd nights of the last 10 days. And so the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. Although on the 27th you see the masses of the people come on the 27th. But tonight is the 21st. So it could possibly be the night of power. And that is important for us to be aware of the fact, because again, the Prophet ﷺ did not speak from himself. He is explaining to us it could actually fall on this night. So this could be a night where there are very few people who are gaining the benefit. But this is, as we know, we've heard so many times, خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهَا, it is better than 1,000 months, right? For your prayers, for your fasting, your dua, right? This is an amazing spiritual blessing for the Muslims. And I want to look at this time that we are in from another point of view as well. Because the condition of Muslims today in the world has reached a critical place. And you have to study Islamic history. You have to realize that in the 13th century, of the common era, when the Khilafat was in Baghdad, and when Muslims were widespread in the earth, but they were broken into nation states, when the ulama were only receiving a small amount of pay, and the wealth was in the hands of a few. And when it is reported by Ibn al-Athir and other great scholars that there were no Hujjaj who left from Baghdad to Mecca, they were too busy with the dunya. It is at that point, when the contradiction was there, we have this great material, but we do not take advantage of it. We actually exploit people. When this happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleashed upon this nation. He unleashed upon this nation a punishment, bala. It was a punishment to the point where many of the scholars were saying they thought it was Yawm al-Qiyamah. They thought that when the Al-Maghul, when the Mongols came out of Northeast Asia and started to destroy our towns, although we appeared to be a large number, we had money, we had numbers, we had young people, we had strategic position, we had everything that you want, but we did not have the iman, we did not have that ihtisab, those things that are needed for us, right? And when we started to take advantage of the dunya, to fall into the trap, then Allah purified us. Tamhis. We were purified. And when the Mongol invasion came, and so many people lost their lives, finally Muslims took a stand and purified themselves. And it is reported Saifuddin Qutus, rahimahullah, united of the Mamluk, he united the Muslims together. He defeated the Mongols in Ain Jalut. After that time was the flowering of Islam. So many scholars that you're reading today were actually in the Mamluk period. So many of our scholars. But it took this massive purification. And it's on all different levels. It's not just nations. We complain about nation states. What about ourselves? Division can happen a man with his wife. Divisions can happen between one brother and another brother in the masjid. All different levels is a test. Each one will get the test, the empty hand, according to how they were created. But the test is upon everybody. And so in this light, because of what is happening in the world, and because of the critical situation in Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And make tawbah, make repentance to Allah, jami'an, everybody, in order that you would be successful. And so Allah is saying it directly to those who have iman. Make tawbah. And tawbah is described in many ways. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, rahimahullah, he said, sincere repentance is what purifies your souls. When you make tawbah, you purify. And it is also described, tawbah is described, tawbah to nasuha, it is described pure tawbah. And the nasuha, when you say nasiha, it is not only giving it advice. Nasiha is to be sincere. It is support. And when you clean metal, when you clean gold and metal, fire is used. So the fire burns away the impurities. And so what tawbah really is what you could call self-analysis and reconstruction. It's self-analysis to understand yourself and reconstruction. And this is one of the great blessings that this ummah has been given, is that even though we have suffered right from the beginning with the attacks on the Prophet ﷺ, after his time, the riddah, where we saw people apostating and not paying zakat, and then we saw a great fitna that happened amongst the Sahaba, and then we saw countries were actually controlled by foreign powers. In some cases it was slavery period, that we were put into a state of slavery as well. Then we saw destructions coming on, but still, alhamdulillah, our numbers are increasing. Still there are more and more people reading the Quran, so we have a chance. There's still light at the end of the tunnel. But we need to, on an individual level, family level, group level, and ultimately, inshallah, even on a nation state level, we need to make tawbah. We need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to analyze where what we have done wrong and reconstruct ourselves. Reconstruct the ummah so that we will not be put down. We will have the right the position. We will have the izzah. And izzah is not just physical strength. It's aziz. Aziz is something which is valuable, something which is dear. Right, so we will have this respect that we deserve in this world. But the tawbah is not just saying, oh Allah, I'm sorry, tawbah, tawbah, and finished. The tawbah is a process that we have to go through. Number one, we have to recognize our sins. If there's something wrong that we have done, we have to recognize that it's wrong. Sometimes we break off, one masjid breaks from another, another Muslim insults another, and we say, no, that's my right. We don't recognize that what we have done is wrong. That's the first part. The second part then is to really sincerely regret the sin. An-nadam. We really regret it. That we're sorry that we actually did this type of thing. Following that, we have to make the intention not to return to the sin. See, so it's not enough. You recognize it, you say astaghfirullah, you cry, right? And the next day he's doing it again. No, sincere intention not to return to the sin. And that's not enough. There's another one called Radd al-Madhalim. And that means that you compensate people for the sin. Because in some cases, the wrong that we have done needs compensation. It needs compensation. Even that's not enough. The last part is to recognize our weaknesses. Recognize ourselves. Think about yourself. Think about your eyes. How strong are your eyes? Think about your mouth. How strong can you really control your tongue? Think about your ears. What do you listen to during the day? Think about your hands. What do you do with your hands? See? Where do you walk with your feet? To think about all these things. And then, this is the basis of a strong reconstruction. And this reconstruction is really important for us. The first part we know about. We can recognize in many cases, this is something wrong. We can feel a regret inside of ourselves, but it has to be sincere regret. But the intention not to return to the sin. How can you do that? This is a great question. And many of the ulama looked at tawbah in a very deep way. There was one of the scholars, a great scholar in Fez, in Morocco, the Sheikh of the Malikiya, who looked at this, and he said that making intention not to return to the sin, one of the ways practically to do this is by continuous good deeds. So you try to do as many good deeds as possible. You do good deeds, it could even be just smiling at somebody. It could be given sadaqah, it could be amr bil ma'ruf, wa nahy an munkar. You can do many different things, but try to be continuous. So we don't just do it one day and don't do it another day. Try every day that we're going to try to do something, this hasanat, try to do something good. If you make this intention, you see, what it's doing is fighting the evil. It's your good side, right? Your nafs al-lawama, right? Which is fighting your nafs al-amara bisu, right? So your good side is fighting the bad side. So continuous good deeds. Secondly, be conscious of Allah in secret and in the open. So taqwa Allah fi sirri wal alaniya. Right, so you have the yes, many times when we're in a big crowd, it's Jummah, it's Salat, then we are good Muslim. Right, we make our Salat. But when you're by yourself in your room, nobody's watching you, is your prayer on the level that it would be if you're in a masjid? Think about this. And we try to repair it so that at least the prayer that we're doing by ourselves would be equal to the one done in public. The higher level is better. Because the more things that we are doing secretly, in a good way, means that the consciousness of Allah, because who's watching you in the secret? Nobody. So that opens up the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See this advice that's given to us? How to open up this relationship so we don't return. Also, another important point, constant istighfar. To be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just when something happens, right? Astaghfirullah. Because a lot of things we're doing wrong. But be consistent, you know, about asking Allah to forgive you. And also, when you hear the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need this, you know. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salla alayya wahda, sallallahu alayhi biha ashara." Whoever says salawat to me once, Allah will give it 10 times. And we need this. We need this, right? We're trying to fight off evil things now. This is the conditions of Muslim today. We have large numbers. We have beautiful masjids. We have all of the books, all of the things. Some of the scholars would travel 100 kilometers to hear one hadith. Some people would spend half their life just to sit under a scholar to learn how to read the Quran. Now we have all of the books, Sahih books, and Quran, all of it in a disc. It's in a chip. You put it in your pocket. So it's not information. There's plenty of information. So all of these things are in place. Right? But something else. The intention not to return. How else can you do this? One way is to avoid corrupt friends. Avoid the places of corruption. This is a really important thing. Avoid corrupt places. Now maybe somebody had a weakness with their eyes. They would go on a certain mall, a plaza, and they stand there and they watch it. Their eyes are loose, right? Go somewhere else now. Stay away from that place, right, which tested you. When you're strong enough, you can still go past it, but change your living, your patterns of life. Change the pattern of your life. We're talking about a practical way to deal with this now. Some of your friends that you may have had are weak-minded people. Try to be around those friends that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's certain brothers you might see or a sister. The brother comes and, you know, when he comes in the room, everybody starts looking at, is it time for Salat? Ali's here. Right? Every time you see him, you think about Salat. That's the one you want to be around. You want to be around the one that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reminds you of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You start thinking about Sunnah. The one that's the opposite, avoid this now. Because when we're doing wrong, right, we may have a habit of stealing. We may have a habit of lying. Some people have a habit of smoking drugs. drinking alcohol. You say that's strange for a Muslim, right? But there's Muslims now, they smoke. They're doing a lot of things, right? And forgiveness is there. In Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'an. Allah forgives all sins. So there's nothing we can do that cannot gain the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. But we have to be sincere. We have to go through this process, right? The next point is ashukra lillah. We have to have gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show real gratitude. If you have recognized something wrong with yourself and you are turning to Allah, you should be thankful to Allah that you can recognize it. There's some people committing sins, they don't recognize it. They think they're on top of the world, they're president. Or they're movie stars. They think they're on top of the world. They don't recognize that they're moving toward Jahannam. They don't recognize this. If we recognize, we have a chance to avoid the fire of Jahannam wa iyadu billah. We have a chance. We should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, that we need to have ridha. We need to be thankful. We need to be satisfied and pleased with what Allah has given us and how Allah has made us. We have to be satisfied with this. So these are practical suggestions. Remember, tawbah is a process. Recognize the sin. Sincerely regret falling into the sin. Make the intention, an-niyyah, an la ya'ud, the intention is not going to return. Make a strong intention. But that's not enough. The other one is radd al-madhalim. And this is one that most people do not understand. Compensating the wrong that has been done. There's the obvious case of a person who used to steal. We had people who embraced Islam and they felt the capitalist system is an evil system. So he stole from the store, and when he stole, he said, I liberated this. You know what that, you understand what that means? He stole it and he said, I liberated it. Right? Because the capitalist. But then when he accepted Islam, he realized, no, I stole. And I did something wrong. So if you stole from this store, 7-Eleven store, and you stole $1,000 from the store, you say, oh Allah, forgive me, but you still owe that man $1,000. How are you going to pay him back? The scholars say, don't do something that's going to harm you. If you walk in the store and say to the owner, I stole $1,000 from your store, he's going to call the police. Don't do that. But somehow, whether you take an envelope, put some money in it, or whatever it is, when you can, pay him back. If you really want tawbah, if you really want to be complete, then pay him back. Okay? Now, the other one which is really serious is that when we have attacked the honor of a person, and so we say, this person, you know, Zayd, this piece of liar, is kadhab. And we say this about that one, that one about this one. And we start to spread, right? Backbiting and then qawl az-zur, right? We're doing it, right? And then you recognize that it's wrong. I was wrong. I was living in South Africa for many years in a city called Cape Town. And there were 150 masjids. It's a strong Muslim community. And so the enemies of Allah in the businesses, they said, we want to pull the Muslim youth out of Islam. So they made a special discotheque, right, for dancing in the shape of a Turkish masjid. And it had 7 levels of dancing. 7 levels, right? It was shaped like a Turkish masjid. And on about the 5th level, going in the heavens, right? Really going to the hell, right? On the 5th level, they had halal food. So in case you wanted halal food. So the person would be dancing and dancing and taking his ecstasy drugs and dancing around and everything, and then he goes to the stand and he says, "Do you have halal food?" See how confused his mind is? Where he's doing something wrong, but he still wants halal food, right? That's a common problem amongst us. So one of our imams, Jazahullah Khair, he had a madrasa, and he found out that his children, some of his teenagers, were dancing in Dockside. That's what they call the place. And so he went down, he is the kind of person, he takes things in his own hands. And he went with his jubbar and his cap, and he went right into the up to the fifth floor. They're dancing around. And the sheikh came onto the dance floor, right? And he grabbed the students by their ears and he marched them out. Right? When they all saw him, the other ones ran, right? Now, what's the shahid in this? When the sheikh goes downstairs after calling to the good and forbidding evil, and he walks out of Dockside with his jubba and his cap, right? And somebody's driving by and they see him leaving Dockside. They say, "Astaghfirullah, there it is. I knew this imam was corrupt. I knew it." And then they start backbiting. I saw the sheikh in Dockside, and as the rumor goes across the city, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, right? One time it starts, he entered Dockside. By the time it reaches the other side of the city, he was breakdancing in the middle of the floor. It gets bigger and bigger, right? When the person now finds out, if that person had gone to the sheikh and said, "Brother, astaghfirullah, I saw you at Dockside, man. Like, why were you there?" If he had asked him and he said, "I was there to correct my students." You see, then he would say, you know, "Ya Allah, I was about to spread scandal." Now, if the person spread the scandal about him, and the word had spread around the city, and some people will say, "I'm not making salat behind that imam." You know what Muslims do, right? "I'm not going to make salat anymore. Astaghfirullah. That's what I wanted." Okay? Now, Radd al-Mazalim, you want to make tawbah, right? You first recognize it was wrong to scandalize the sheikh. Then you ask Allah to forgive you. You really regret it. Then you make the intention not to return to the sin. But the last part, the next one is there. That is compensation. How do you compensate him? The ulama say, you compensate him by saying good things about him to the level where it will wipe out the other one. So you will have to now compensate. You can't physically compensate him, right? Because once you ruin an imam's character, his life, he's finished, right? You can't pay him money. The money's not going to help him. His character was insulted. So you have to now announce to people, "I was wrong." And you need to say positive things about this person until the community knows, no, he is a decent imam. This is Radd al-Mazalim. If you really want tawbah now. You really want tawbah. There are sometimes it really gets deep. It really gets deep because, you know, in religious matters, if we make takfir on a person, right, where you call that person kafir, right, this is a serious thing. That person has been named kafir, and it is not true about this person. And then you find out it's a serious thing. And so this is where we have to be able to compensate. We have to be able to understand, you know, make it clear this was not the situation and turn it around. The final point in tawbah, and this is the issue that we're talking about, which is so important. It's so important for Muslims today because we have great potential. Allah has given us so much. It is unbelievable how much Allah has given to us. In some parts of the Muslim world, when they did a study of the population, they found out that 25%, or that 50% of the Muslims were under 25 years old. The majority, if you take all the Muslims and put them on a field, you're going to find the majority of them are young people. So we are a nation of the future. If you take all the European nations and put them on the field, you see the majority of them are older people. Right? They have good health systems. Right? And Allah gave them the will, and they have good health and whatever. But they're not having babies, right? They're not having babies. And so they said in Germany, and they said in Belgium and Holland, they said any person who has citizenship and you have a baby will give you extra money. We'll pay you to have a baby. That's literally what they're doing in some country. But the problem they're running in now is that Muslims now are living in large numbers in that country. So in Belgium and in Holland, 50% of the children born in the hospitals are Muslims. And they're getting paid. You see it? And they're getting paid. So we didn't do anything. It's the will of Allah. We can't be stopped, right? But it's just a matter of, are we going to stop ourselves? That's the difference. Are we going to stop ourselves, or are we going to really turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and make proper tawbah and come out of this? The final area of tawbah, and remember we said the beginning is to recognize the sin, to regret it, right? You have a serious regret, the intention not to return, right? Compensation. And finally, it is to avoid unlawful deeds. To understand what the unlawful deeds are and how to avoid them. Now, how do you avoid it? We avoid it by understanding ourselves. We have to understand the sins of the tongue. We have to understand how dangerous it is to lie. Especially if you lie on Allah and His Messenger. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man kadhiba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa'u maq'adahu minan nar." Whoever lies on me intentionally, then he has a place in the fire waiting for him. That's the worst form of sin. But we can also lie on each other. And kadhib can come in different forms. So we need to understand this. This is a homework assignment for all of us. What is a lie? What's the whole rules around lying? What is permissible? What is not permissible? There's some type of lying that you can do. You can lie. That might sound strange, right? But if we are walking down the street, we turn the corner, and a group of Islamophobes, they're looking for Muslims, right? And the Muslims are over there. And they come with their tattoos. And they come for Muslims, and they come to you, and they say, "Where are those people?" Don't be a good Muslim and tell them the truth, man. Lie. You understand? You can lie to save their life, right? That's permissible, right? Also, the husband and his wife, and the wife and the husband. The husband might look at his wife, right? She took her makeup off, and you know, whatever. He looks at his wife, and he should say, "Darling, you're the most beautiful woman on earth." You can lie. She can look at her husband. He comes in, and he's looking terrible. He's weak. He made a mistake. She shouldn't put him down further. She should say, "You are the strongest man. You are my hero." Right? This is like we call flattery in English. It's a type of lie. You can do that. Right? Bringing peace, also peace between two Muslims. Two Muslim brothers, sisters, or factions. You can, you know, say the good things, suppress the negative things. Right, to bring peace. There's a time when you can do it. But we have to avoid al-kadhib. We have to avoid insults, swearing. And we can swear in all languages, right? Some people, when they learn a language, the first thing they learn to do is tell a swear. Right? You have to shut it off. Some brothers, they are very good Muslim, but if you hit him, if you do something wrong, then he swears. Because there's ghadban, right? That's why the Prophet ﷺ gave advice to one of his companions, لا تغضب. Don't get angry. Just don't get angry, right? Control yourself. Control your emotions and the insults that come out of them. Our eyes, we have to learn to control our eyes. We are under a major test by the handheld devices. But we have to learn to control our eyes, right? And Ramadan is the best time, check yourself. Check your eyes. So that after Ramadan, it continues. It's not just based upon the month, but it is a continuous thing. The ears, what we are listening to, right? During this month, it's difficult to listen to some of these things. Right? If it was difficult in Ramadan, why is it easy outside of Ramadan? See, it should be all year round. So it's a chance. You have to know your ears. Some people are strong with their ears, but they're weak with their eyes. Some people are strong with their eyes, but their mouth. They can't control their tongue. So whatever is our weakness, we have to understand it, and we have to be able to deal with it during this month. Your hands, the power that Allah has given to you, whatever level of that power, right? Check your power. Some are given power, state power, they can take life. Right? Some people are given institutional power, you can fire someone from the job. Right? Some people can do things in the masjid. Right? Or maybe it's just a man in his house. Or maybe it's just a woman with her children. Everybody has a certain amount of this batash, this power, right? Quwwah. Everybody has something. But do we check it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are the things that we have to think about. These are the issues that are hitting us in this month, which are crucial to us in order to make tawbah, to make a proper repentance to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we pray that Allah Azza wa Jal would help us and give us this tawbah to nasuha, this sincere tawbah. We have to pray to Allah for the Muslim world. Really, that Allah would give this tawbah to us so to gain forgiveness before it's too late. It has happened before in Islamic history. It's happened. In last summer, Allah. But we have to really turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that amongst the companions, he told the companions that there was a man in Bani Israel. And this man wore his armor and he struggled for Allah for 1,000 months. 1,000 months. And the companions were amazed at this. How could this person from Bani Israel have reached this status? This is amazing. And in this light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Al-Qadr. And in this chapter, as you know, the oft-repeated verses, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr, that the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Better than the reward that person got from Bani Israel. And so this is an opportunity for us. But the Prophet ﷺ has informed us, look for it on the odd nights of the last 10 days. 21, 23, 5, 7, and 9. Most people will go for 27, and that is still considered by the scholars to be the strongest night. However, the Prophet ﷺ said it could be any of the nights. So it could be tonight. And what is important, I want to stress to myself and you, is not quantity. It's not the amount of times that you pray, but it is quality. It is sincerity, the ikhlas that we need to show to Allah. Be sincere. Even if it's one dua, but a sincere one. This is what we're looking for. We need some sincere changes on the ground. So we have this night, right? And then you count. The majority will come on the 27th. 29th, everybody's getting ready for Eid. In some cultures, they drank their falooda. You know falooda, this pink drink? They drank their falooda, they drank their drinks. The samosas are gone. Now it's Eid Mubarak. It's the 29th night, which could be Laylatul Qadr. So we need to be observant on all of these nights. Be observant. And it may not be the amount, but at least with sincerity. Let us turn to Allah Azza wa Jal with this true meaning of Tawbah, self-analysis, and reconstruction. We can reconstruct ourselves. If we analyze ourselves, really turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, we can reconstruct ourselves and come out of this month as a better person. This is an amazing opportunity we have been given. And I pray that Allah Azza wa Jal would have mercy on you and me. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept our prayers and our fasting. Rabbana taqabbal qiyamana wa siyamana. Rabbana taqabbal qiyamana wa siyamana. Rabbana taqabbal qiyamana wa siyamana wa a'malina. Kullaha fi shahri Ramadan. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Wa qina adhab an-nar. Wa adkhilna al-jannah ma'al abrar. Ya Azizu, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام